have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our own hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For who we are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is on unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, everybody. Please keep your Bibles open. That is the passage we're looking at carefully today. There's masses in it, and I'm only going to be able to scratch the surface. So let's pray. Our Father, your word is true, and it gives life. And we are to have confidence in it, faithfully preached. Please do your work by your Spirit in us, and then through us, as we understand and apply what you have said. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, here's two statements. No one can become a Christian whenever they feel like it. No one can keep going as a Christian by sheer willpower. Now, if you took both those two statements on board early on in your Christian life, you wouldn't find yourself floundering so much. It's a miracle anyone has their eyes opened to the gospel, and it's only by God's power anyone keeps going as a Christian. The point of them both is that human beings need God if they are to become Christians in the first place, and then keep going as Christians afterwards. Have you understood them? Do you believe those two statements? Because there are very strong temptations in the world to lose heart, both when you look at the agonizingly slow progress your efforts at sharing the faith seem to be having on others, and then the growing sense of your own weakness in living as a Christian. You feel like you're hardly very much further on than when you first trusted Jesus. You find pretty much everything harder than you imagined it would be. So the temptation to lose heart as a Christian is strong. Paul could see the danger in himself and in the band of believers, so he so cares for in Corinth. In chapter 4, he's rustling up his best arguments for keeping going, and we can see discouragement is on his mind. Look at verse 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And look at verse 16 towards the end. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Although outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Now, there are already two great reasons for not losing heart. Let's just have a quick look at them before we carry on. First, the ministry we have is by God's mercy, his immeasurable kindness to us. Paul keeps going as a Christian because he knows that God brought him into the family and involved him in the work for the kingdom of God in the first place. He knows when he really deserved anything but God's kindness, he was shown mercy and set on a fresh path. We're getting on with living for Christ in a hostile world because of God's kindness to us. That should mean something. But the second reason backs it up. Though outwardly we're wasting away, we get injured, we feel a physical or mental knockback. You'll all know how fragile your bodies are. They look from the outside as we hobble along. I've got a limp at the moment. As we shade our eyes or hold our heads still to avoid a cracking headache or loud noises, we are wasting away. And yet we need to remember that inwardly we're being renewed day by day. That's to say, God's Spirit is at work in us, readying us from heaven, making us more able to reflect the character and heart of the God who first loved us. So we keep going because of God's mercy in giving us this ministry, and we're being renewed. Those are two reasons on top of a stack of others you could pull out from this letter. But that's not the way I want to tackle it. I want to look at it in just two major blocks. Verse 1 to 6, we speak up. And verse 7 to 17, we show up. Firstly, we keep going. We persevere. We don't give up or lose heart. Instead, we speak up. Paul introduces the chapter by talking about having this ministry. And then he expands. Verse 2, it's a ministry of the word of God. It's about setting forth the truth plainly. Verse 5. It's about what we preach, not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. And that's the measure of it. That's the ministry, a word ministry about Jesus Christ. It's a ministry that points people to the light of the gospel, that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Paul's task, the Corinthians' task, every believer's task is to speak up and point people to Jesus as Lord. Verse 5. So what does telling people Jesus is Lord look like or sound like? Well, he says, verse 2, it's setting forth the truth plainly. It's not complicated. And it's great to remember that the plain message of the gospel can't be improved on. It's God's gospel, so we are to just tell it how it is. We don't go for shameful secret ways. That's manipulation or adjusting of the truth to make it more palatable. That would be to say to God, I don't think your truth is the best truth. If you decided to leave something out, you'd be telling God you think you can improve on his gospel. Well, you can't. Just set forth the truth plainly. Paul was modeling it, and we are to follow it. Now, Jesus said some very popular things, things that people from all walks of life look to and call beautiful. Love your neighbor. Honor your mother and father. Go the extra mile. He also covered some taboo subjects. He talked about a coming judgment and a real physical hell, to name a few. The gospel is the whole message. The good news about Jesus as Lord, who came first time to rescue, but is coming again to judge. That's what his being Lord means. We say it in our creed, don't we? He will come again to judge the living and the dead. That means everyone. That means everyone you're sitting with now. That means every member of your family. That means every politician, every school teacher, everyone on your street. He will come and they will face him as their Lord and give an account for what they've done with the news about him. We are to speak the truth plainly and not leave bits out. Now, of course, there'll be occasions when you can say more and others when you can say less, but we aren't to flinch from speaking up, thinking we'll make life easier for ourselves by just leaving that hard bit out. No, Jesus's lordship is something we need to talk to people about. He is king. And one day everybody will acknowledge it. Leave out Jesus's lordship and only speak what we think people want to hear is to cause terrible problems. In some countries, mostly in Asia, when you ask for directions, people tell you what they think you want to hear rather than the truth. Has anybody experienced that? How far is it to the next town, you say, with your rucksack on your back? Oh, not far, not far. Is the next town a long way? Not far, not far. And 3 hours later, you're only halfway there. You realize you have been told an untruth. They wanted to tell you something they thought you wanted to hear, but actually you'd much rather them said 20 kilometers, it'll take you all day. Then you'd have done something else and set off walking. The risk of people taking offense must never shut us up or have us water down the message. No, the message of the gospel is glorious. The ministry we have from God is his gift. Our task is to speak up, to tell it and to trust, to have faith that the same message that saved us is still true, and that's what makes it powerful and attractive. So you may be asking, if the message is glorious and true and the ministry is God's merciful gift, why don't more people become Christians? I don't know, has that crossed your mind? Answer, verse 3. Our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. They don't see it. In fact, sometimes they do see it, but they don't like it. That doesn't mean it isn't true. It's just that verse 4, those who don't get it have been blinded. The God of this age has blinded them. I'm not quite sure what that means. It could just be this age with all its instant gratification and everything that we want to have now gets in the way of people recognizing that Jesus is Lord. And they refuse to believe it. What does it take for anyone to believe the gospel and come to trust in Jesus as Savior? It takes the gospel set out plainly and God must make the light shine in their hearts, verse 6. He is the one who gives the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Nobody becomes a Christian unless God does that. Anybody who has become a Christian, God has done that for them. That's what conversion is. It's not more knowledge accumulated from listening to more and more sermons and chatting with lots and lots of Christians. It is that. But it's also a miraculous seeing Jesus for who he is and accepting his loving rescue and righteous rule. Now then, if you're not yet a Christian, there'd be no better time than right now to call out to God and ask him to lift the veil, to open your eyes and give you a sight of Jesus. Maybe you've been putting it off, hoping you could have the benefits without admitting him as king. But nothing seems to have changed. You've gone along to endless church services, you've talked to loads of Christians, but nothing's really changing. Could today be the day that you could surrender and dare to believe that the gospel is really good news, Jesus can be trusted, and he not only delivers you from sin and guilt and shame, but he equips you to make new and better choices, ones that will honor him and will see you with him in glory. There's no half measures. You can't half become a Christian. You need to see and own Jesus as Lord. Look at verse 5. This is the ministry of a believer. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And ourselves, servants, for your sake. That's the gospel in a nutshell. It's not about you. It's about Jesus, the crucified and risen one. He died for your sins. He is now raised to rule. Will you put your trust in him? Will you put your hand in his hand and be willing to go where he leads, to love what he loves, and to put away what he hates? Will you take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him? That's the gospel we are to speak about. But you say, it never seems enough. I know the gospel. It saved me. I can remember surrendering my life and daring to pray. I don't know what lies ahead, but I trust you, Lord God. Thank you for dying me. Now use me as an instrument in your hands. And I'm trying, but it's so hard. It hurts. I seem to be making so little progress. I feel so very weak. Why is this being a Christian so difficult? Well, look down at verse 7. Everything you are feeling, if that's what I've described as you, is intentional. It is normal. It's part of the grand plan. Isn't that amazing? What, I'm meant to always feel weak and feeble like this? Yes. Is there never going to be a time when I can feel strong and confident and able and successful? Well, no, actually. That would be a different gospel. It would be to have taken a different track to the one Jesus called us to and Paul clearly sets out in 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 7 says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. That's the power that is to bring a person to new life. That power is from God, not from us. And the way we see that is when we're really weak, but God does his work anyway. Do you see? When people look at Christians, they're meant to see jars of clay with treasure inside. I love a good Kaz's curry. Who's had one during lockdown? Let's have a look. Yeah, that's a good two-thirds, I reckon, for those outside. Kaz is our best curry shop in Sawston. I thoroughly enjoy even the queuing outside the curry shop because of the smells. I don't buy the curry for the containers it comes in. These things are plastic and flimsy. They aren't even worth keeping to store other things in. No, the treasure is the curry, not the container. That's what it's like as a Christian. We aren't the message. We are the vessels who get to carry the message. And the weaker we are, the more beautiful, tasty, attractive, delicious the treasure is seen to be inside. So if the first message is speak up, the second is show up. Paul describes it in very vivid terms. Listen to the jar of clay and the treasure in each of these statements. We are hard pressed on every side. The jar, but not crushed. The treasure. Perplexed. The jar, but not in despair. The treasure. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. When a Christian person faces trouble of any kind, people can look at them and at first sight they'll see frailty, fragility, and failure. They'll see the clay jar. But if they keep looking, what they'll observe is them keeping going and trusting in Jesus, in faith, persevering, in hope, in not giving up. And what they're seeing is the treasure of the gospel. There's no ordinary explanation for what they're seeing. It doesn't compute. Why haven't they given up? Why haven't they thrown in the towel, sacked following Jesus after all? Life is so hard for them. No. What's on display, what is showing, is the treasure that God intended for them to show. They are seeing the difference faith in Christ makes. Our troubles are not the troubles of a Paul who's on missionary journeys. He was being stoned and hounded out of towns and villages and mocked and shipwrecked. But we can relate to verse 8, can't we? Hard pressed on every side by health, struggles, grief, relationship breakdowns, isolation, loneliness, depression. But if we are Christ's, then we won't have been crushed out of existence. There'll be cracks and dents and broken bits. That's the jar. But the faith in Christ will still be burning bright. Perplexed. Who hasn't faced that as a Christian? We love our families. We pray for them to respond. We open our lives to them. We point them to the glory of the Lord and his gracious offer of free grace and forgiveness and mercy. And they carry on as if you've been telling them the price of milk. Or a friend seems to show signs of responding to Jesus. They wonder at the grace and the moment in Christianity explored when they read that or hear that. And it looks hopeful, but then they lose interest. And they step away. And they say, no thanks, I don't want to investigate any further. And we're perplexed and confused and saddened. That's the jar. But we are not in despair. That's the treasure. You persecuted, you didn't get the promotion, you got given the job no one else was prepared to do. But knowing that, you're not abandoned. You press on with remarkable courage and steadiness. Are you struck down? It's a tumor, or your child is dying, or your partner's filing divorce, or has gambled away your pensions and savings. Things hurt. They are agony. No one would ever choose them. They are the clay jarness of being a Christian. I'd like to introduce this as a word that we talk about at Christchurch. How's your clay jarness going at the moment? Do you think it'll catch on? Amazingly, wonderfully, beautifully, even the striking down has not destroyed them. They get up and they read their Bibles. They meet with their prayer partners. They sense they're being held onto by Christ and they press on. Their speaking up goes hand in hand with their showing up. What does their clay jarness show? It shows the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Or another way of putting it, we always carry on, verse 10, in our body, the death of Christ. Sorry, we always carry around in our body the death of Christ. You can point to something in your body and go, yep, I feel that's broken or breaking or getting old or sore. That's shorthand for the life of opposition and rejection and betrayal and finally crucifixion. We carry that around in our bodies. But it was going somewhere, verse 10, so that the life of Christ might be revealed in our body. Or again, verse 11, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our bodies. Death is at work in us. Most people need a good few years under the bridge before they will admit that death is at work in them. But it is. Every day is a day nearer our own demise. And when we're on display as clay jars, sometimes the weakness, the frailty, and the fragility will mean death feels like it's very close. But it's precisely then that God intends his treasure to be most visible. That's when the plastic becomes so thin you can see what's inside. The treasure of the gospel that keeps us going without losing heart is most visible in suffering. Death is at work in Christians, but what's the outcome? Life is at work in you, in those looking in and listening. How do we speak about our pain? Well, that's a great question. How do you speak about the pain you're in? Is it a long diatribe of hopelessness and poor me, or I just give up? That's not a Christian display. Or is it, I'm hard pressed but not crushed. I'm not in despair. It hurts, but I'm not destroyed. Maybe through tears or sadness or pain, there are smiles of hope and confidence and reassurance that you have something more precious and lasting than anything this world or these frail bodies can offer. Here's a question for you. Verse 14. Is verse 14 on your lips? Look down, have a read. Is it in your texts? Is it in the cards you write and in the responses of sympathy to the people you offer? It should be. Verse 14. We know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. We know that in the midst of this pain, even if it ends in death, we are going to be raised with him. And so will you be if you trust in Christ. Therefore, we don't lose heart, verse 16. Outwardly, we're wasting away. I've got a wrist niggle. I've got ankle problems. You can see my bramble tussle on my legs right now. Paul had his thorn in the flesh that he begged God to take away, but he heard back, my strength is made perfect, and he meant more visible through weakness. We are wasting away outwardly, all of us. Even if you fit young teens, you're going to find that there are limits to what you can do. You aren't invincible. You won't live forever. None of us will. But when you realize that, will you have the gospel to lean on, to lie back on? Verse 16, inwardly we're being renewed every day. You may feel that your troubles are anything but light and momentary. But with Paul and in light of the gospel and of what is to come, you are looking forward to an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So don't lose heart. Speak up. Show up. Right? That means let God's power be shown by your persevering in Christ through whatever you're going through. And lastly, focus. Lots of this makes much more sense when things are seen in perspective. When we step back and see that the stinging bramble pain is just a surface scratch. It's not even fully skin deep. I had a few of those this week. And I was able to say, with quite a lot of blood pouring down my legs, actually, I don't have a broken bone. And I'm standing safe on level ground. It was a good moment. I had perspective at that point. Focus matters when you're a Christian as well. Lose focus and you will wobble. Take your eyes off Jesus, and your assurance will waver. That's why Paul says to the Corinthians at the end of this amazing chapter, verse 18. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What does he mean? Every single thing you can touch, you can lay your physical hands on, is passing away. It'll be gone in a few years. The most precious treasure you have, think of whatever that is, a family member, a home, a job, all of those are on loan. They are not yours to keep. They are temporary. But what can't be seen and which is eternal matters far more. He's talking about the plain truth of the gospel that is the glory of life through faith in Christ. It is Jesus Christ as Lord. And with your eyes fixed on him, you'll face that moment confident in his provision, his well done and his welcome. So we preach Christ as Lord. No matter how hard pressed, we won't lose heart. What we have in Jesus is something no earthly trial can take away. And it'll last beyond this illness, this crisis, even death. It'll last forever. No one can become a Christian or stay a Christian in their own strength. We are just jars of clay. The treasure is the truth of the gospel which we have believed. Have you believed it? It is Jesus whom we can speak up about and whom our weak and fragile lives will in his strength show up. So keep going, brothers and sisters. If you're not his yet, then please speak to me afterwards. May the offer of lasting, permanent treasure draw you past this world's passing pleasures. You're only going to hold on to those for a little while anyway. May the eternal, lasting grace of Christ be yours now and forever. Let me pray as we finish. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from you. May we have that perspective, whatever we face this week, Lord God. May we have confidence that it's as you help us to persevere through whatever trial we face, that will be what shows up your power, what shows people Jesus Christ. strengthen us for another week. And we pray you would open blind eyes, you'd lift veiled hearts, and grant life to those who as yet are saying no. Please have mercy and make us ambassadors in this great ministry. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.